Hello and welcome to the Try Talking Sport podcast, hosted by me, Joanne Murphy. Whether you are an athlete, adventurer, endurance enthusiast, or simply have an interest in sport, you have certainly come to the right place for inspiration, encouragement, motivation, and as always, plenty of entertainment. Since the last episode, it's been a very busy few weeks on both the work and training front, the season starting to get into full swing on both counts. I was delighted to host the Outdoor Recreation Network Conference and Awards in April. As part of that, I got to visit Avondale Forest Park in Wicklow, and I managed to get a fabulous 11k trail run done around the forest before enjoying a group tour of the Beyond the Trees attraction at the Forest Park. Totally worth the visit, and although the thoughts of going down the very high slide at the top of the Beyond the Trees attraction sent my heart rate up into zone 5, coming down that slide was so much fun. They actually have a Strava challenge for anyone interested in running to the top of the structure. Be sure to check it out if you are planning to visit over the summer. From Wicklow then, it was into a busy weekend as MC of the Gymnastics Ireland Gymstart competitions in Dublin before jetting off to Croatia to announce at the Four Islands MTB stage race, part of the Epic Global Race Series. Yes, I was island hopping around Croatia for almost a week, and yes, it was work, and yes, it was fabulous. Check out my socials for some of the highlights of the fun and the racing. I'm heading into a very busy time on the microphone now as the season really starts to kick in over the next few weeks. From gymnastics in Dublin to Lochcutra Castle Triathlon in Galway, a Sport Ireland conference, to travelling to Switzerland to announce at the Ironman 70.3 Rapperswil. May is jam-packed full of announcing adventures, but not before I make my return to triathlon racing this week. Ah, it's only a few more days to Ironman 70.3 Mallorca. I started my training, well, started getting into a routine and some training structure back on the 30th of December when I joined Leisureland in Salt Hill. The weeks have literally flown in. It's hard to believe the race is this Saturday. It seemed so far away just a few weeks ago. Am I ready to race? Yes, I think so. I've done the training. Has it been the right training? I hope so. I've been kind of self-coached, armed with a plan from Training Peaks that I've tweaked according to my fitness and ability as the weeks have gone on. Of course, supported by my training buddies here in Galway, under the watchful eye of Oliver Harkin, who has steered me in the right direction when needed. Am I nervous? Heck yes. It's 7 years since I took on this distance in Mallorca. A lot of training and talking has been undertaken since then, but very little triathlon racing. I'm nowhere near as fit as I was this time 7 years ago, but I have enjoyed the journey to this race, ticking off the training sessions, clocking up some of the longer miles on the solo spins and the solo runs, hopefully not just building physical endurance and stamina and the ability to keep moving forward physically to the finish line, but also the mental strength it will take to keep moving forward when things get tough. And although I plan to enjoy the race and to pace myself so I can smile on the finish line, we all know that completing a 1.9 kilometre swim, a 90 kilometre bike, followed by a 21.1k run is on a number of levels going to hurt. Do I have a finish time in mind? I do. Is it achievable? I hope so. You'll have to keep listening to hear the time, in inverted commas, I have set for myself for the race. But no matter what happens on race day, I have loved getting back into the structured training, feeling and vainly looking fitter, but mostly feeling like an athlete again, especially after some of the more taxing sessions, be it the solo 100k spins or the hard interval run sessions. Getting those nailed has been almost as good as the feeling of crossing the finish line of a race itself. Now, there is a little bit of a caveat. The taper tantrums and the pre-race gremlins are really trying to put me off my game this week, with the sniffles taking hold of my sinuses, which I'm sure you can hear in my voice, totally disrupting my final taper plans for training and, of course, my sleep. Generally, trying to make the final few days before race day more stressful than they really need to be. However, no matter what happens this Saturday, I'm going to try and enjoy the race, embrace the atmosphere, the buzz, the camaraderie of the gang from Galway Tri Club who are doing it, as well as the banter, fun and camaraderie, i.e. competition, from the team members at Ironman UK and Ireland who will also be towing the start line alongside me. This is the biggest Ironman 70.3 in the world, and I know there are going to be lots of familiar faces on the course to keep me motivated and moving. Goal number one, get to the finish line in one piece. Goal number two, enjoy the day and keep smiling. And goal number three, be able to dance at the epic after party. Fingers crossed I achieve all of these goals on Saturday, and May the 11th goes down in history as the day I properly returned to triathlon racing. Now, before we dive into this episode with Greg O'Shea, check out these deals and offers that will save you a few euro at the checkout. La Cutra Castle Triathlon takes place in Galway on May 25th and 26th with a whole host of races for beginners to more seasoned athletes. They will host the National Mixed Team Relay Club Championship, the National Sprint Aquathlon Championship, Round 3 of the Youth National Series and many more races across the weekend. Use the code TTS24CRS online to secure 25% discount on all races at the castle. Are you racing abroad this year and want to ship your bike directly to your race? Use the code TTS35 for a €35 discount on your booking on www.teamtruck.eu. The discount is available until the 30th of May and the discount can be used on bookings up to the end of 2024. A fan favourite and of course my favourite recovery products from Nuasan are a must-have in the Athletes Racing and Training Recovery Protocol. Use the code TTS15 for 15% discount on all products purchased online at www.nuasan.com. The CBD gel is my favourite product and I've been making full use of it and the body moisturiser over the past few weeks. Of course I do need all the help I can get to the start line and the finish line on Saturday in one piece. Speaking of getting to the finish line, you need to get your nutrition nailed in for race day. The guys at Precision Fuel and Hydration have given us a code for 10% off your order of €65 or more. You can use the code TALK10 on the link in my bio on Instagram and make sure you tell George Sherwood at Peak Sports that Joanne sent you. Okay, so now time to dive into our chat with Greg O'Shea, the proud Olympian, Ironman and Limerick man, who spent a few short days in the Love Island Villa in 2019 and was catapulted to fame when he was crowned the winner of the hugely popular reality TV show with his love interest at the time, Amber Gill. Shying away from the spotlight, breaking the unwritten rules of engagement post his Love Island win, Greg headed for home in Ireland to pursue a lifelong sporting dream of becoming an Olympian. With his focus firmly on achieving his boyhood dream, his drive, focus and determination saw him and his teammates achieve success as Ireland's Rugby Sevens team at Tokyo 2020. Retiring from professional sport, Greg started to dip his toes into the exciting world of endurance sport. From cycling a stage of the Tour de France to completing a UTMB race, he completed Ironman Barcelona as his first ever triathlon last October. And in April of this year, he completed his first Ironman 70.3 in only his second ever triathlon at Ironman 70.3 Valencia. It is fair to say that the bug for endurance racing has firmly been caught. His passion for chasing goals, fitness related in particular, and for inspiring people to follow their own fitness journey has seen him set up his Better app, designed to improve the mental and physical health of its users. Whilst all might seem perfect from the outside looking in at the life that Greg has carved for himself as an athlete, a presenter, and a well-recognised name at home and beyond, a darkness descended on him not so long ago where his mental health was significantly affected. Thankfully, Greg sought the help and professional guidance needed to find his way through a very difficult time to come out the other side in a much better place. And he now uses sport and exercise as one of his five pillars to keep him on track with his mental health. This is a great chat with Greg, who has worked hard to get where he is today. His perseverance, determination and focus from a young age have paid dividends personally and professionally. The future is bright and the world is his oyster as he pursues his passions in sport, love and life. Now go grab a cuppa and enjoy the show. Greg O'Shea, welcome to the podcast. Really excited to get to talk to you. Can I just tell you before we start that my mother is a massive fan of yours. Massive.
No way. From the 6 o'clock show, let me guess.
Absolutely. Do you get that much, do you, where the mammies are big fans? Not saying I'm not a big fan, but, you know, the mammies are big fans.
Yeah, I have a big cohort of, like, what would you say, women with a life experience from the 6 o'clock show. And then I have really young girls from Love Island. And then no one in the middle likes me, but on the extremities, both fan clubs are there.
I'm sure you're building up the fan club across kind of the mid-30s to the late maybe 50s across your triathlon and endurance profile now. So you've got the Instagram rhythm, our algorithm doesn't know where to go with you.
I know. I'm a bit all over the place. A jack of all trades, master of none is what I call it. But the thing is with the triathlons, I've always had the appreciation for it, but I never gave it a go. And then I retired from rugby and I was like, do you know what? I've always wanted to do an Ironman, and I jumped straight into the deep end. Nowhere in between. I went from a retired sevens rugby player, which is basically a sprinter, straight into a full Ironman. And it was a rude awakening, but I got to that finish line, and my respect for triathletes has just gone through the roof. I don't know how you fit in normal life around triathlon training. Honestly, Joanne, it's crazy.
It's a bit nuts. What piqued your interest in triathlon, or where did you first see it? Lots of people that we talk to will say it was the Ironman World Championship. It's the event that's known around the world. So what was it that caught your eye, or where was it?
But first of all, what kind of came to me as an appreciation for triathletes, is it the Brownlee brothers that compete in the UK, the British brothers? I remember vividly seeing the race where one of them was in the lead and then the other brother, so the one that is in the lead collapsed like 50 meters from the finish line, and the other brother, instead of passing him out and coming first, picks up his brother and throws him over the line and lets him win. And I was just like, this is just one of the most beautiful like depictions of top level sport, but also like brotherhood and team camaraderie. And I just thought it was amazing. And then on top of that, obviously the Ironman is like one of the top of the mountains, like Mount Everest, things to complete in your life. And just as a general athlete, I'm like, that is amazing. But as a young fella, like looking at the distances growing up, I was like, how does someone do this? I was like, this is obscene amount of distance. And then when I retired from rugby, I kind of had that dog in me that still needed to be fed, that drive. And I could have easily gone down bad roads, like drinking and partying and spending my time doing the wrong stuff. But I decided to put that kind of addictive athletic nature into training for the Ironman. And it was kind of silly going straight into the deep end. But ignorance was bliss, because I did the training and I got there to the event and I did it. And I was in the depths of despair. I was in the hole. But I didn't know that that was one of the worst holes that you can be in, and that there's stepping stones along the way to prep you for that. But look, I have it done now, and I don't know if I'll ever do a full one again. I'm just loving doing the half distances.
And of course, you did Ironman 70.3 Valencia. How's the recovery going from that race?
Yeah, so it was actually yesterday, week ago, or 2 weeks ago. Yeah, in and around that time. And my body's still recovering because I pushed hard. I did the training for it, but I really wanted to go sub-6. And then when I knew I was going to go sub-6, I was like, oh God, I can take a good chunk off this. So I really pushed then. In the run, and my hamstring started cramping, my calf started cramping. And you know when that happens, and you're just, no one cares. Like, do you know what I mean? You got to get to that finish line. So you're pushing through the cramp, and that's just not good for your tendons. And Chuck, I'm preaching to the choir here. You completely get it. So I'm still kind of recovering from that, but it's a quick turnaround because I'm going into trail running now, and I have a marathon trail run in 2 or 3 weeks down in South Africa in George. And I have to complete that marathon trail run to qualify for an ultra marathon trail run in August in Mont Blanc UTMB. So I'm doing a quick transition now into running the mountain, but I'm hoping my base from the triathlon training is going to help that out, you know?
Before we get into all of that, bring me back to Greg O'Shea as a kid growing up. Were you totally into sport? Where did the interest in sport come from? I think, did your parents race for Ireland internationally?
They did, yeah. Well, my parents were sprinters. So the 100 and 200 meters. So when I was born, it was inevitable that I was going to, first of all, get on the track, and second of all, play rugby, because my father and my uncles, all my family are massive rugby fans. So that was just like a foregone conclusion. And lucky enough, I got some of the speed from my parents, but I never did a full loop of the track. Like, do you know what I mean? I'd only figure of speech. I'd only do 100 meters or 200 meters. Going the full way around 400 meters is too long for me. Do you know what I mean? The length of a rugby
pitch.
Yeah. So that was all I did for like 26 years of my life was rugby and athletics. And I was lucky enough to go to the Youth Olympics. So I sprinted for Ireland in the Youth Olympics. And I did pretty well there. I ran 10.8. I came sixth in my age group, which was incredible for someone that was just playing rugby all the time. But then I kind of realized that I wasn't fast enough to like make it as a fully fledged sprinter. Because if you're not running low 10 seconds for the 100 meters by the time you're 18, just give it up. Like, do you know what I mean? There's no point. So I went into rugby. I took a contract with Munster Rugby because I was handy enough in school. Like, I really put in the effort. Like, I got into the Munster Academy early and I put in the hours. I was always the kid that was happy enough not to go drinking and happy enough not to go to the parties. And my friends thought it was kind of weird that I wasn't getting involved in the social scene. But I always had this, like, this plan that I was going to the stars and I was just going to become a rugby player. But even though you don't know how you're going to do it, I just put in the effort. And I remember my mom would drop me to school like before school starts. The school starts at 8:55. She dropped me to school for 7:30 and I'd be out on the rugby pitches by myself, just doing drills. And no one's there. Like, no one cares. It's before social media. And I'm just like putting the hours and hope that I'd become a professional athlete. And lucky enough, it paid off. I got into Munster Rugby, which then led down the line to playing Sevens Rugby, and I got to the Olympics. obviously the initial goal was to be a sprinter in the Olympics, but that was dissipated very quickly, and I became an Olympian in another way. And then it all had to end at some stage, because you can't be a rugby player your whole life. And I dropped into the triathlon world and the endurance world, which has completely humbled me again.
Amazing to listen to your journey and the discipline that you had as a kid, which is so hugely important for anybody who wants to succeed in anything. Yours was in sports. Where did that appetite and the discipline come from to be the kid that wanted to be at school at 7:30, to be kicking the ball around or throwing the ball around? And how has that now, I suppose, grown as you've grown along with it, you know, that motivation? Because whatever about being in a team environment for Munster Rugby or for the Olympics with the Sevens team, Ironman is definitely an individual sport. If you're lucky enough to be in a club or close to a club or have training buddies, that's great for the collective suffering for those long bike spins and the long runs. But when you're going solo, it's very hard to stay disciplined.
Yeah, it is. And for sure, one of the big things I'm missing now is that camaraderie and that teamwork. The teamwork element of a group working together towards one common goal. And I've been trying to replicate it. I'm trying to like feed that desire in me, and I can't really touch on it since I retired. But then again, it's kind of like, be happy it happened, not that it's over. And I'm in a different tent now. Do you know what I mean? I'm doing the endurance world, and it's a different buzz, because you're out there by yourself. And if you put in the effort, Joanne, you know you're going to get the return. You're not depending on other people and other people's mistakes affecting your performance. It's like, if you put in the hours, you put in the time, and you get your race strategy right, you're going to do this time. And I kind of love that element of it as well. And I'm much more, funny enough, I feel like I'm much more mentally strong, and I'm a better athlete now than I was when I was playing rugby. Because when you're in a team, you're kind of joking, you're messing, you can rely on the other lads. Where in this world, in the endurance world, if you mess up, and if you're not eating right, if you don't have the right equipment, it's only you that's going to suffer. You know what I mean? And I've really kind of figured that out. For instance, the Ironman full one took me 12 hours. Being out for 12 hours, if you don't have your stuff together, if you don't have a ducks in a row, you're going to be in a world of pain for the entire day. And like those long sessions that you're talking about on the weekends, when you go for your long, like, I don't know, 20, 30K run, or your 4 or 5 hour bicycle ride, I've always done that by myself. I haven't been lucky enough to find a triathlon club yet. I'm kind of asking around which one would be good for me. So I've done that all by myself as well, which is kind of a weird place to be. And I always train without music as well. And you're just out there with your own demons. And it's like, it's kind of cathartic and therapeutic, because it's so long, just you and your body. And it's like that holistic approach that you can hear yourself breathing. You can hear your cadence. Like, no one knows you're there. No one cares that you're there unless you put it on Strava, obviously. And then it's like, I do miss the buzz of the lads, but I'm also so much more mentally strong now, because it's just me against me, if you know what I mean.
And when you're in the zone on those long bike rides, what are you thinking about?
Oh my God, I don't even know. Like, I'd love to know your answer on this. It's very much like you get into this like glow state, I feel. And it's just time is moving a lot without you even realizing it, without you kind of digesting it. It's just time's ticking away. And I'm very concentrated on, if I'm trying to hit 30 to 35 kilometers per hour, if I have a climb coming up, gathering myself so I can push myself up the climb, what kind of power outlet I'm having, my cadence, all that kind of like nerdy stuff.
So I think you've gone totally into it, Greg. You've gone totally into it.
Yeah, I am. I'm big into it because I'm very much like, I'm a newbie and I don't want to like embarrass myself, and I'm not in a triathlon club yet. So I need to get this right. So I look up a lot of stuff on YouTube, a lot of stuff on Instagram, trying to figure it out. And the biggest thing, Joanne, is I've made all the mistakes, like completely. Like, I made such, like, for instance, the first time I did a long cycle, I did it from Malin to Mizzen with a group of lads who had some cycling experience. And I didn't have my bike fitted right. And I was basically in a squatted position for the first day. And I honestly was like a cowboy getting off the bike. I couldn't walk. And it was just that kind of stupidness. You know what I mean? Like, how did I think that was going to work out? So I like giving back tips now to people that are getting started. I'm like, don't do this, do this, do this. Like, do you know what I mean?
And were you nerdy in school? Did you like the numbers in school and kind of the curiosity side of it, that you would go and investigate things? If you're not in a club, it is very hard to try and get the answers. You do have to go and either join a Facebook group where you're getting random advice from random people. Sometimes the coach in there with some good advice, but other times it's just crazy stuff. You know, so that curiosity and fascination with numbers and learning, is that something that you've kind of nurtured over the years? Or
yeah, I'd say growing up when I was in school and when I was in university, I was never the smartest guy at all. Like, do you know, I wouldn't be gifted just naturally with intelligence. But I work my arse off, and I work on my arse off to be like a B student. You know what I mean? But I could easily be a D student if I didn't work my arse off. And I did law in university. I have a law degree. I've done the majority of the FE1s, which are the state exams to become a solicitor. And my whole strategy for studying is so not efficient, but it's just about workload. So I was even showing my partner my old logs and notes for the FE1s there the other day. And it's just like Joanne versus Greg, 1984, the reason for the case, all the way down. And these are back and front A4 pages. And I could recite it word for word, where the name was on the page, what where was, and like, that's not an efficient way to learn. That's not intelligence. That's just pure like stubbornness. And it worked. And I passed all the exams. I passed all the FE1s, but I couldn't tell you what I learned now. Do you know what I mean? So it's just about like the stubbornness. And I've definitely taken that from my sporting world of, if you put in the work, it's gonna happen for you. I'm only like 2 years into this world now, but I'm already starting to realize that you can't start training for a race like a month before. Like if you have an Ironman coming up, if you haven't started training 4, 5, 6 months previously, and accumulates.
Accumulated effort.
Exactly. I'm starting to kind of realize that. Do you know what I mean? And it's all about putting in the time, putting in the effort, and staying stubborn with it, which it just seems to be my personality trait now, you know?
But some of the things that you mentioned there, you know, learning off all the stuff, like that comes in very handy with your other job as a presenter, as a sports commentator, because sometimes I feel, you know, I'm studying for the Leaving Cert every time I go to interview somebody. So for example, the research we would do on you, I'm like, okay, but I learned that about him. I have my notes. But, you know, you want the stuff to be off the tip of your tongue when you're talking to people. It's the same at Ironman. You have your notes, but you can't always get your notes. So you need to have like that quick stuff. But if somebody asks me tomorrow about you, I won't be able to tell anybody about you in some of the bits and pieces that you would remember today, because it's just that way of learning. I like the way you did it, you know, working hard to be a B student. And look at us now, we're A plus ones. Are we A1s, the top level?
Oh, I don't know. We like to think we are anyway.
Well, listen, illusion is part of it all, isn't it?
yeah. There is a bit of that as well. People like always ask, and I'm sure you get this nonstop your whole career. They're like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you doing an Ironman? Why are you doing an ultra marathon? Why? And I'm like, because I just love testing myself. I love challenging myself. And I genuinely believe it's the only way you grow as a person and figure yourself out as a person. And like, it's like figuring out your limits and then smashing those limits. Because if you're always just staying comfortable, you're never going to learn about yourself. Do you know what I mean? And you can always tell when someone gets it. So someone has done an event that they've been to that well, and they've been to that dark place, and they come out the other end. You can just see the way they speak. They're like, you understand. It's like that type 2 fun, I call it. I wrote it on my Instagram the other day, whereas type 1 fun is like, this podcast type 1. It's easy to log on and chat to each other, go for a coffee, go for a drink. It's so easy to like access type 1 fun. Type 2 fun is the only fun you feel after going through a challenge and taking on a challenge. And it's afterwards, like it sucked during it, but afterwards you're like, that was the best thing ever. Where's my next event? And you can only chat to like-minded people about it to understand. Like, you'd be the exact same, Joanne. So when you're like, people are like, what are you doing it for? I'm like, you get it. Try an event, you'll get it. I'll speak to you after.
When I think back to my very first triathlon, I actually did a relay back in 2009. I couldn't swim, so I did the bike and the run, and I was hooked. I thought this was the best thing since sliced bread. Little did I think that we're nearly 20 years later, you'd still be involved in it. You mentioned something there, and the words that popped into my head was the sense of purpose. And that's hugely important as well, Greg. And in the career you're in now, you're a very public face, a very public name. You're on the 6 o'clock show, you do commentary, you know, the whole Love Island thing, bubble and explosion post Love Island. You know, that sense of purpose now, that this is something for you almost, is that kind of a good way to describe it? That the long distance, the endurance stuff, the triathlon, the doing it independently is something that you can control. And as somebody who's got such a huge personal profile, nobody can touch you because this is something that you are doing for you. Do you know that kind of way? I don't know if I'm explaining myself properly.
Yeah, I love the way you're putting it there. I myself, when you said purpose there, it's definitely makes me feel like I'm doing something proper with my life. And I'm not ruining the opportunities I have. And the kind of thing I say to my friends and my partner who I've just got into endurance stuff, I'm like, you get to do this. You know what I mean? It's not like, stop complaining about the 10K run because it's in your program. Like, you get to go out and run 10K. And some people that have diseases, some people that are missing limbs, some people that whatever their situation is, they don't get to go out on the bike for 5 hours on a Saturday. You do. So it's very much a mindset shift. And it gives me purpose that I feel like I'm pushing myself and getting the most out of my body. And I'm not just putting that energy into something that's just negative for the world or negative for myself. And it makes, it's going to sound like quite dark and quite aggressive, but like, it makes me feel like I'm not a loser. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm actually doing something quite purposeful with my life. And I'm not in the pro series. I'm not like a triathlete pro at all. But it feels like when I go out and do a hard session, I know I've done something that was difficult that day. And it makes me like proud of myself. And if I start missing training for a couple of days or even longer than that, I just feel like I'm a little bit more worthless and I'm not using the opportunity that I have to push myself and enjoy life. And a big thing that I've also just realized in the last year or two when I've got into the endurance stuff is that I've fallen in love with the journey of it and how much it sucks and the pain of it. And that sounds weird, but if other people are listening to that have been through the events, they'll get what I'm saying right now. And I see you're nodding. Because you get to the finish line and it's like, oh, that's cool. Like the win, like it's a win's a win. It's fun. It's the finish line. But where's my next event? And that's what it's always like. You're always thinking, what's my next event? So it's falling in love with the journey of it. And when you're looking back, that's what you're going to enjoy. You're going to be like, oh, when I was 29 years old and I was training for a half Ironman in Valencia, like that was just so fun. Because at some stage, I'm going to be 75 years old, hopefully with a family, and I won't be able to move as well anymore. And I'll be like, oh, I wish I was 29 training for a half Ironman again. So that's what I'm doing it because I have the opportunity to do it now. And who knows where it's going to take me, but I'm absolutely loving it.
And the thing is, don't put an age limit on your triathlon, because as you get older, you'll have more miles in the legs. You could end up at the world championship winning your age group. There we go.
I know. Oh, you know what? A
little, no like, pressure.
I know. A little tiny goal of mine in the back of my head is like, I wonder if I could turn pro and give it a proper crack, because I have the want for it. You know what I mean? I have the passion. I have the work ethic. I have the ability, but I just don't know how that could work. And I'd have to speak to someone like yourself offline and try and figure out how it could, because I definitely have the passion for it and the want. So, and I don't know which event I could give it a crack, but I know I'm willing to do it. But who knows? I'm still trying to figure it out at the moment. I'm still making all the mistakes. Like I haven't got any coaching and I figured out how to do the swim element of it, the bike element of it, and the run element of it, even the trail running side. Even like,
come back. Who taught you how to swim? Sorry, coming back there. Who taught you how to swim?
No one. I just started repping it out myself. So I don't know if I'm doing the wrong technique, Joanne. This is it. I keep sending people. I'm like, I could be doing the wrong technique in the pool or in the sea. I don't know. But I'm managing to like hit the times. And I'm like, okay, if I'm doing the times, I must not be too far off. But I could be like completely wrong technique-wise.
Okay, after this call, we're totally having another conversation. I'm sure people that are listening to the podcast are going to be like, no, we wanted to hear what she said to him. But I can't believe that you don't know whether you're swimming properly or not. First things first, you need to get yourself either a swim analysis or get a coach. We'll talk about that again and maybe off air, but definitely, you know, you can see it by you in the way that you're talking to me about the sport, that you can see that there's definitely a little sparkle in your eye. And all joking aside, being in the environment with other people and finding a club or a group or something is hugely important. We always say, you know, that when you join a tri club, you might be a great swimmer, for example, right? Okay, we I don't know what your times were like in Valencia. You might be a good great swimmer. You might be an average biker, but you could be a super runner. So in the tri club, you might actually end up cycling with somebody who's slightly better than you, swimming with somebody who's much better than you, but then you might be the better runner helping the other people along, and then you find other people. So there's that kind of community aspect of it as well, where you're learning from the people around you and getting faster because of the people around you. Even if you have a training plan or you have a coach, it is good to have that whole community side.
Yeah, but that's how you improve is training with people that are faster than you.
Within reason, because you don't want to absolutely blast yourself and go into the red every single training session. And as triathletes, what happens is cyclists will cycle normally and they'll use two rings at the front and they'll go up and down the gears. Triathletes will just sit in the big ring and a big gear at the back and just hammer the crap out of it. And that is not how you cycle your bike, as far as I'm concerned. And that's what we've been told, you know?
Even though what you're talking about there, the red zone and stuff, I had to figure out all the heart rate zones and all the different gear changes and the front gears and the back gears and everything and how efficient to be. And it was a guy I borrowed a bike off. I can't think of his name right now. He has a bike shop in the middle of the city center, Dublin. And he was like, if I've one tip for you, Greg, It's like stick around the 100 mark when it comes to cadence, between 90 and 100. Because he's like, these guys that come from rugby like you, they just hammer it out and they're just grinding it out. And they'll be great for the first half of the race and then they'll die out. He's like, tip along. He's like, you should be in a flow state. And that helped me out so much. I can't think of his name right now, but it was a good tip to have.
What's your favorite discipline at the moment? Is it swim, cycle or run?
Yeah, I think I'm naturally inclined to enjoy the running because I come from a running background and I'm getting the most bang for my buck. Like I understand what technique to be doing and all that. So it's much more relatable to me. I definitely dislike swimming the most because I just find it so hard. It's just so difficult. There's just so much pressure on your lungs. And I don't know if I'm doing the right technique. I'm just about managing to get decent times. Like I'm slipping under the 2 minutes per 100 times. So I did 38 minutes for the 70.3 swim, which is great. I had the 40 minute goal. I did 38 minutes. And that's just pure ignorance, like just giving it a crack. Do you know what I mean? So there's probably a good few couple of minutes.
I'd be delighted with a 38 minute swim in Mallorca, I can tell you. So I didn't do too bad.
Yeah, exactly. But then there's guys doing it. I have another mate who did it, and he did it in 28 minutes. He beat my 10 minutes. Like,
yeah, but has he been swimming since he was a kid, and has he a coach and somebody analysed his swimming? I mean, that's like comparing apples and oranges. Put him on the sprinting track or out in the rugby pitch. Would he be any good?
I know. That's the thing. You have to remind yourself of it. So at the moment, running's my favourite. Then obviously cycling second and swimming, just because I find it so hard.
When you go from Ironman to trail running, it's very different. UTMB, and I mean, that's a completely different ball game again. This is uphill in trails on your feet all the time. How in God's name are you going to do that? And I always worry about the nutrition side of it and having a very delicate stomach. When you go from Ironman to trail running, it's very different. Very, very different type of discipline, type of sport. How will you manage the crossover from triathlon to trail running?
Yeah, I did it last season, first time, where I did a full Ironman and I also did a marathon trail run in UTMB. So I've kind of done the transition, but it is at the top level, if you're trying to perform, it is very different because of the trail running, obviously, there's so much elevation gain and you're basically just doing high lunges up a mountain. Do you know what I mean? And that's burning your legs and it's controlling your heart rate and then having enough legs and skill to come back down the mountain and not twist an ankle. And there's a lot of nuances to it. And the triathlon's a lot of nuances to it as well. So it's kind of figuring out what works for you. But I love the mixture of it and it keeps it fresh in my mind. It's like when you're triathlon training, you'll split up your week with the three different disciplines of swim, bike, run, and it kind of refreshes it every day you go to a new session. I feel now that I've kind of parked the triathlons for a couple of weeks, I'm going into trail running. I'm like, this is a new world. I get to like, and I did my first big session yesterday. I did a half marathon trail run around Tiknock in Dublin. And it was beautiful because the sun was there. Like you're out in the open. You feel like you're on an adventure because you're running through the forest. And I just really enjoyed that element of it. I much prefer trail running than road running. Road running is like you're out there with your mind because it's just monotonous and you're just running on tarmac and you have to like work on your own mentality to keep yourself focused. When we're trail running, you're trying to focus on not twisting your ankle or the beautiful trees you're running through or the scenery. And so I definitely would recommend trail running to someone if they find road running too monotonous and boring. Trail running kind of gives you that visual stimulus, you know?
And how do you balance then the training with your work? I imagine that your schedule is hectic and it's probably not in one place for too long at any one time. So how do you manage your training schedule around your work schedule? And then also factor in the downtime where it's just a bit of crack to go for a walk on the prom or go for dinner or have fun instead of it being totally focused on Greg, the public persona, Greg, the triathlete or the athlete, and then Greg having the crack.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough that I came from a professional sports person world when I was playing rugby for 10 years. Now, professional in quotations because we were paid very little money. The most I was ever paid in a year was 18 grand. Now, living in Dublin on 18 grand, it's very hard. But it's I find like triathletes get that because there's not that much money in triathlons anyway. And if you manage to slip into like the pro series or whatever it is, you're still not getting that much money unless you get a big sponsor. So I feel like there's that appreciation for it. And I was able to like adopt the triathlon training based off what I'd done before. So it's just my full-time schedule. Off the back of Ireland, I've all these other work opportunities. And I used to present on the 6 o'clock show. I don't do that anymore. I've been on podcasts. I've been on RT2FM. I do stuff with the Olympics. I have a fitness app called Better, yada, yada, yada. All this kind of stuff, right? I'm spinning a load of plates. But the beautiful thing of of working for myself and dipping my toe in a lot of different working industries is that I create my own schedule. And if the training means that much to you, and if you really do want to take part in an event, you're going to make time for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's, you have to be able to organize your time. And if it, and the biggest thing is like, okay, you have to make sure you get your sleep in there. So between 7 to 9 hours sleep, and that's like a non-negotiable if you want to be able to perform. And then you might have to work a 9 to 5. Okay, that's cool. You get an hour lunch break. You also have an hour before you go to work, and you have like 3-4 hours in the evening as well. And as long as you prep your meals, your nutrition, you know what you're going to eat. I've just kind of delved into a thing called HelloFresh, which like my food arrives at my door and I still have to cook it, but I know what meals I'm going to eat at what time, and I know what I'm going to cook. And it's just much more time efficient, but I prioritize my training. Like, you know, and I have it planned out in the week. If it's written into my timetable on my phone, it's like a coach has given it to me. And it's like, I can't, it's a non-negotiable. I have to do my hour and a half swim session on a Monday morning because it's in there. So I force myself to do it. So, but there is a bit of that discipline, like, you know, and a big thing that I've always kind of relayed in my sporting career is discipline equals freedom. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase before. So like, it sounds funny on the face of it, discipline equals freedom. But if you have the discipline in your life, it gives you the free time then on a Saturday to go on a, have a walk and have an ice cream with your partner. But if you haven't had discipline during the week and got your training and your work and your nutrition and your sleep done right, that's going to spill into the weekend and you're not going to be able to enjoy your free time because you're worried about all the stuff you messed during the week. So if you have structure and organization in your work week, in your training week, then you can, it sounds funny, you can plan your free time. And you're not a slave then to the training you missed or the food that you messed up. You're like, okay, I did my thing. Now I can enjoy myself and have a beer and enjoy my free time. And that's also the beautiful thing about being retired now from professional sport is that I can have a beer. Like, do you know what I mean? I can have a pizza if I want to have it because it doesn't really matter. The only one being affected is me. My team's not being affected anymore. Do you know what I mean?
And that's quite interesting as well. When you think about it, you've gone from that environment where other people were relying on you as part of the team and you were relying on the others. So that's a huge shift in training, focus, everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a massive shift. And there are definitely a disadvantages to it as well, because when you're in a part of a team and you're, say, if you're going in the morning to do a training session, the boys or the girls can pick you up. Do you know what I mean? They can give you an old tap in the back and you can get through it together. And it's that camaraderie element of where you bounce off each other. It's like a symbiotic relationship. Whereas nowadays, if you want to go train and you're basically there by yourself, you got to motivate yourself. And it comes back to that discipline element. But it's also like, I got to remember, and I relate this to people as well, is that you're not a professional athlete and you're not a soldier. You don't have to do what professional athletes and soldiers do. You're allowed to enjoy yourself. You're a human being. You're doing this event because you enjoy it and you're trying to get enjoyment and fun out of it. So don't make it a chore. You're choosing to do this. You're probably paying to do this. I paid to do the Valencia 70.3. It cost me, including accommodation and flights, the bones of €1,000. And I'm like, okay, I paid to do this now. And I remember the middle of the race.
You got a holiday out of it as well.
I know, you got a holiday. And then you stay for a couple of days. Yeah, I remember in the middle of the race, I was like, I hit the wall in the run. And I was like, oh my God, why do I do this to myself? And then I literally like out loud said to myself, I was like, you paid to do this. This is what you wanted. Once you finish this in a couple of days, you're going to want to do your next event. So get over yourself and enjoy the moment. And it worked. So like, these are the kind of elements that you have when you're just doing it out of choice rather than as part of a professional program.
I'm going to replay your little motivational talk there when I'm standing on the start line in Mallorca. Next time, yeah, like, yeah. I paid to be here. I want to do this. Oh my God, what am I doing?
I know. But those nerves are going to be feeling, I'm sure you're well aware, is that the nerves are a good thing. It means you care.
I know. But like,
it means it matters to you.
I know, but it's a different type of nervousness. I mean, I get nervous when I'm standing on the start line of a race about to press play on the national anthem or thunderstruck, and my heart rate goes through the roof. I'm so nervous about the whole day and the whole event, and I'm not even racing, so I can't remember what it's going to be like standing on the start line in Mallorca, which is, I think, one of the biggest 70.3s in the world, and it has been for the past while, and I'm expecting it will be similar. But yeah,
it would be cool. I'm jealous.
I'm scared, but I'm excited. And I'm at the stage now where I just want it to be over. I've ticked all the long distance boxes. You've got that, like, have I done enough? Did I do enough? I know I did loads of training. Did I do the right training? I didn't spend a lot of time in the gym. I did a lot of cycling and running, which I didn't expect. Didn't do enough swimming. Will I be fine? It's going to be the Maybank holiday this weekend. The podcast will be out after this. But the weather looks lovely, yeah. So I'll be spending the whole weekend down in my wetsuit down in Salt Hill trying to get the miles in, so I'm not freaking out when we're miles out to sea in Mallorca.
If you probably have the confidence that you've done your training program and you can like rely on that, you know it's in the body. But do you have the same feeling where no matter what, you know you have to go to the well and it's going to be painful and it's just like you're just nervous because you know how much it's going to hurt? You know what I mean? I feel like that's the way you are as Natalie. You're like, I have to go to that zone regardless. So that's why I'm nervous.
Yeah, I think I'm nervous as well about the things I can't control. I don't know about you, Greg, but I'm definitely a bit of a control freak when it comes to things. So the thoughts of getting a puncture, yes, I can fix the puncture, but will it take me 10 minutes or an hour? How much will that affect, you know, the overall day?
Yeah.
Will, you know, a bit of rubbish fly out of my hand and I get disqualified for literally like all the negativity comes, but they're all out of my control. There's nothing I can do about any of them other than ride my own race and enjoy it. And I'm apprehensive, I suppose, about, I think in my head I know I can do it. I'm probably apprehensive about at what level I'll be able to do it. I'm nowhere near where I was in 2017 in terms of fitness level. I definitely won't be breaking 6 hours, which I've done before. Will I break seven? Yeah. Hopefully come in around 6:30 if I have an okay day. If I have a good day, it'll be slightly closer to six. Not sure whether that's 6:25 or 6:01. But we just have to see how it goes.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited for you.
It's good, yeah. So, no, I am looking forward to it. But it reinforces, I suppose, you know, the feeling that everybody else is going to get on the start line as well. And so for me, as a presenter, as a commentator, announcer for Ironman, I kind of want to remember what that feels like as well. You know, when I'm standing there and you're on the start line and I'm thinking like, God, yeah, this is what it felt like. And what can I say to help these guys and girls out now as they head off on their 70.3 journey?
Yeah.
You know, so there's a little bit of that side of it as well. And
that's one of my favorite moments of the Ironman that it makes it so unique, is that it's the energy of everyone coming together and everyone's there with their swim caps on looking like minions about to get into the water. And then you have you guys, you start playing the music, the like motivational, like Hans Zimmer, interstellar music. And it's, and then you like switch over to like high energy and you're all like giving the motivational messages. And it's just like, yeah, and you're trying to keep yourself calm. You're like, I'm so motivated to get going now. That's one of my favorite parts about the Ironman. It's so everyone coming together.
Yeah, it is. And it's a wonderful community as well across the triathlon community. You know, oftentimes you'd have people saying, I forgot my wetsuit or I forgot my goggles, somebody help me. And so straight away you put an announcement out over the PA system to say we have an athlete who's looking for a small men's wetsuit. And then somebody comes and says, oh, I'm here supporting my partner. Here's a wetsuit. And they genuinely give their 500 and 600 euro wetsuit away to some random stranger who's going to probably piddle in it in the middle of the sea. But you know, it's that kind of trust and camaraderie that's there that actually I really enjoy about the sport as well, even though I'm kind of on the periphery of it. Coming back to you, Greg, and I want to talk to you a little bit about Love Island, because it would be remiss of me not to mention the show and everything around it. I suppose that kind of catapulted you as a household name, you know. And so now you are a name that everybody recognises in Ireland and beyond. How does that affect your daily life? It must be hard to walk down the street and people go, there's Greg O'Shea from Love Island, or there's that. I mean, they're not saying there's Ironman Greg O'Shea, or they might be saying there's Olympian from Tokyo 2020 in the rugby sevens. But I imagine it's mainly Love Island that people go, there's that fella, there's that lad.
Yeah, I could easily change my birth cert to Greg O'Shea from Love Island. Like, it's just... It's just insane. They're like, Greg from Love Island. It's just nonstop. But the thing is, it's given me so many opportunities off the back of the show. And I wouldn't even call myself a celebrity. Maybe a D-list celebrity. Like, no one's
We're up at a B level now. Remember, we worked hard
B
for
B level for me.
We're definitely B level.
I'm a big believer, though, in the fact that no one is actually famous in Ireland. Like, no one's allowed to be famous. It's a beautiful thing about Ireland is that everyone kind of stays in around the same level, because you probably went to school with my sister, or I played rugby with your brother, or me and our parents like play golf together. Whatever. Everyone's kind of connected and no one's allowed to get too big or too small, which is kind of like
and if they do get too big, they're told they're knocked off their pedestal fairly quick, because that's the Irish way.
Yeah, exactly. It's like with the thing with Ireland, they'll big you up until you get too big and then they bring you back down to the middle. It's funny, it's the way it is. And I think if people get like really famous, they just move abroad. Do you think of like Bono or Bob Geldof or people like that? Do you know what I mean? They're actually famous, so they move abroad. So that's kind of like, I don't feel like I'm famous here in Ireland at all. People recognize, you know, like, oh, geez, fair play to you. And I'd love if they recognized me for my like sporting endeavors, like the Olympics or the Ironman or anything like that, or what I'm doing on social media. I'm very much trying to like relay like a wellness lifestyle and fitness and exercise and the positive side of living. And I'm slowly starting to get there. Do you know what I mean? It's been about a 4-year journey since the back of Love Island. And I'm very much like aware of like, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Like, do you know what I mean? Like Love Island gave me these opportunities and the Irish people gave me these opportunities. And they stuck by my side when I got cancelled by the UK, when I decided not to follow that Love Island route. I came back home straight away, got training with the Olympic team and just got protected here in my little bubble in Ireland. So I'm very patriotic and I love this country and I love the people and I appreciate it so much. And I don't know what the long-term goal is, but I've kind of found a nice little niche now where I do my presenting for different organizations and I have my app there that I like relay fitness to the normal folk who just want to like access that world but don't really know how to. And then I do my own like crazy sporting endeavors like you, Joanne, where I create content around that. And that's kind of what I do. And I've kind of found my nice little bubble there and I don't know where it's going to take me to, but I'm very happy where I'm at the moment.
And you've already said you want to be a pro athlete. We just haven't decided which distance or discipline. Could be a pro athlete, pro runner, as opposed to a pro triathlete, maybe down the line.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's just a waste if I have this like athletic ability and the passion and the want to do it. I'm like, I should probably give a crack at something, but I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like if I look back and don't give something else a proper crack, it'll be a waste. But maybe what I'm doing right now with my app and with my different endeavors, and I did a leg of the Tour de France last year. The UTMB trail running, the Ironman. And maybe that is my niche where I'm like, I'm showing people how to get into these sports and like inspiring people to try, whether it's just a local 5K. Maybe that's it. But I definitely have something in me that I'm willing to push a little bit more. So who knows what it's going to be.
It strikes me that you're the type of person that wants to give back as well, because you're talking a lot about, you know, getting other people into the sport and that fitness journey. And yes, you know, potentially your career is built on fitness now going forward from your career as a pro rugby player and the rugby sevens and that. And now, regardless of what happens with your professional sporting career as an athlete, it strikes me that you're the type of person that kind of wants to give back to the community and is very grateful for all the opportunities that you've been given. And that now you see this as an opportunity both to grow your own professional career and whatever that will be down the line, but also to help other people. Is that important to you, Greg, to help other people?
One thing I live by is that if the benefits of exercise could be put in a pill form, the mental benefits, the physical benefits, they genuinely wouldn't be able to stock it on the shelves. It would be completely sold out across the world. Like, and you figured that out, I figured that out. And it's like relaying back to people that, okay, this works. This is free medicine inside your body that's going to make you feel awesome, look awesome, and just be a better person and have more longevity in your life. And then I get the bounce back from people being like, yeah, but maybe I don't want to exercise. And I'm like, okay, maybe you don't want to exercise for you, but do you have a partner? Do you have kids? Do you want to have kids? Okay, do you want more years with those kids? Do you want to live to 85 instead of 70? Do you want to live to 100 instead of 90? You need to start exercising. And that doesn't mean you have to be like me and Joanne and go do an Ironman or an ultra trail run. You could literally just start doing a couple of walks down the road. You could do a local 5K. You could play golf. You could do yoga, whatever it is. Pick a discipline that you like and you'll enjoy, or that you don't hate even, that you don't mind doing, and do it for your partner or your future kids, your future grandkids. And that's what I'm trying to get back to people and show them what we've figured out. And I do it in my app called Better, where the whole concept of the app is I'll show you what to do, I'll show you how to do it, and I'll do it with you. So it's like, that's the USP. I do every single workout. I have 2 workouts live later on the app, and I'm going to be jumping around my living room, like, do you know what I mean? With people tuning in from around the world. And it's very accessible, 30-minute classes. All you need is yourself and a good attitude. And that's kind of it. Like, and I'm just trying to show people, like, you get it. I don't need to be doing these classes. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't need to be jumping around my living room. I've done 10 sessions this week anyway. Do you know what I mean? I don't need an extra session, but it's showing people what to do. And the big thing that people don't realize with me is that I haven't made that much money either off the back of all these work opportunities, because off Love Island I came straight back home and took that 18 grand contract, so below minimum wage I was making for 2 more years after the show. And now I have this app, and it costs a lot of money to create an app, so I'm still paying that off. And then I have these like different jobs coming in and out, but I went into 6 o'clock show for a while, came back out. did a podcast for a while, came back out. So it's just bits and bobs. Now, I'm not struggling for my next meal, but I'm not like, do you know what I mean, a millionaire that's going to be able to fly off to Dubai and live there for a while. So I think that's also why I'm very relatable to Irish people. It's just because I'm trying my best and I found my passion and I'm trying my best to just keep it going. And we're all in this run together. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's kind of it really, isn't it? That you're, you know, you've nearly a million followers on Instagram, yet you're like the lad next door that we've just met in down going for a run in the prom. Do you know that kind of way that you're just so down to earth? And was it yourself and Georgie brought a gang to New York to do the half marathon recently? Yeah. And it was just so cool watching all the footage that you guys had. You had a big, big gang out there in New York and providing the opportunity for all these people to find this new community of runners. It just looked like something that you want, somebody like me would want to be part of. Do you know that kind of way? There's a huge aspect of almost the FOMO of like, how did I not know that was happening? And how do I get on board for next year? You know, so I think that's a huge part of it. A huge part of it as well.
That was Georgie Crawford's crew, her Good Glow, it's called. Yes, she invited me along. And I was like, 100%, get me involved. Because it's very hard to get into these big events like the New York Half. So I went, 180 of us went over there. And what I noticed was there was all different shapes and sizes, different ages, different abilities. Some people's first half marathon, some people's 10th half marathon. But the thing is, everyone was just in it together. And the beautiful thing about these groups that sign up for these events is that it just makes it accessible. Like, because there's that kind of like barrier between, oh, I'm seeing this on social media, I want to get involved, but I don't know how to get involved. So that's why you follow someone like Georgie Crawford or myself or yourself, and you show people how to make that first step. And then they just fall in love with it themselves and they go do it all themselves. Like, but it's just getting over that first wall, you know?
Can I be serious for just a minute or two and talk about mental health a little bit, if that's okay with you? I know that you spoke to Dearen on her podcast about your own struggles with mental health, and looking at your life from the outside, nobody would ever have known that you had mental health struggles. Talk us through what it was like maybe coming out of the end of that. And I know there was like some horrendous stuff going on in the background with death threats to your family and things like that after Love Island. For anybody who's maybe listening who isn't of that positive mindset, or maybe they're in a tunnel and they can't see the light at the end of it, maybe some words of advice or encouragement from you, Greg, having gone through some difficult mental health struggles, might just be the little bit of support that they need to go find help themselves.
Of course, yeah. It just happened to me. It came up on me out of nowhere. And looking back now, it's obvious because I put myself into that mad world where I was just in the biggest show in Britain and I didn't follow their unwritten rules. I won the show after 12 days and came straight back home to Ireland. Do you know what I mean? And I tried to shun away from it, but I just forgot about it because I wanted to become an Olympian so badly. Then thank God that happened, but it was very lucky that happened, because first of all, Ireland hadn't even qualified and I had to make the team. That all worked out in the end, thank God. Put all my eggs in one basket, to use a Love Island phrase, and then I retired and I was just caught between these two planks of, now I'm no longer an Olympian rugby player, which my whole identity was wrapped up in, but I also said no to this Love Island world, and now I'm like stuck between these two planks of like, who am I? And I'm very much lost my identity and who I was. And then I had this onslaught of these Love Island super fans that were fuming that I didn't follow the unwritten rule and stay with that girl and move to London and be the it man and be at all the couple events and whatever it is. But I was like, that's not me. That's not who I am. And I just very much lost who I was as a person and where I was going and the track I was on and the onslaught of all the abuse. And I was just still doing the big Irish man thing of, I'm fine, I'm grand, it's all good, and like clearing my throat. And it just got so overwhelming. And one day it just cracked. It just completely came out of nowhere. And I just very much lost myself. And I was lucky enough that I had the kind of strength to bring myself to go get the help I needed. And I did that. And now down the line, I'm much better. And I don't suffer with that at all anymore. But the beautiful silver lining that's come from it is that I have so much more empathy for people now that struggle with mental health and anxiety and being overwhelmed. Whereas before that happened to me, I would have been like, yeah, you're just mentally weak, just toughen up. Now I'm like, no, you need to like acknowledge this and like look at it as a physical injury. Do you know what I mean? But it's a mental injury. So if you like have a torn hamstring or broken leg, you can see it and you're like, I need to take care of this right now. But with your mental injury, it's in your brain. You can't see it, but you need to take care of it just as much as you would a broken leg. And now I have such empathy for people that are dealing with that. So my biggest thing, if you are listening to this and you're struggling like I was, first of all, you need to get over yourself. And and stop thinking that you're okay, because you need to acknowledge the feelings that your brain is giving you, that your body's giving you. It's giving you these senses that are negative because something's wrong in your life, and you need to acknowledge it. So you need to ask for help. And if your friends aren't willing to listen to you, if your families aren't willing to listen to you, because at the end of the day, some families just aren't there for you, you need to go to a professional and mention what's going on. And that's what I did. And thank God they helped me. And then the other big thing is, if you're not willing to go to the doctor, or you're not willing to speak to your family and friends, the five things that I make sure I'm ticking off that put me on the straight and narrow and make me feel like I'm in a good place and grounded and not struggling with the mental health issues or side of things is sleep, diet, hydration, stress management, and exercise. So if one of those five pillars are missing, usually I'm going to start getting a bit of anxiety, or I don't feel myself, or I'm kind of lost in life. And stress management isn't anything big. So like once a week, I might bring myself to the sauna, and I'm in the sauna for 30 minutes. No one can get at me. I don't have my phone on me, and it just allows me to be with myself and de-stress and not be on social media or speak to anyone. And then the other ones are kind of very self-explanatory. Like, so, and if I tune them all back in, if I have my five foundations, I feel like I'm much better and I'm much more grounded, and I don't go down that kind of dodgy mental health route anymore. And having purpose as well was the other big thing. I needed to remake myself, but like redefine my purpose and where I wanted to go. And I did that with the presenting and the fitness goals and the app that I have now. And I've by no means figured it out, but it's given me a reason to get up and focus and work. Do you know what I mean?
I guess as well, the fact that you're still an athlete, like you never stopped being an athlete, but I can understand that whole identifying as a professional athlete. I remember David Gillick talking about it as well. You know, when he came home from the Olympics, he didn't finish his racing as an elite athlete on his terms, and he found it very difficult. Shane Williams, very similar from Welsh rugby. Mm. He struggled after his professional career ended as well. And especially sometimes when it doesn't end how you want it to end, or where, whatever the fairy tale was that you have in your head. But I can totally get that piece. So what do you identify as now? Presenter, Olympian, Ironman, athlete, partner? You know, what if we were to ask Greg O'Shea to describe himself in seven words, how would you describe yourself?
It's a great question. I hadn't even really thought about it now.
I hadn't either until just now.
Yeah. I suppose it's a mixture of all that you mentioned there. Like I'm very much that kind of guy next door that is very into wellness and a healthy lifestyle, but showing people how to access that. Do you know what I mean? And that's kind of very much where I'm at the moment. Personally, in my life, that's what I live by, but I also in my work, that's what I'm doing. And then I've managed to have a knack and a passion for presenting, and I'm delving into the sporting world with that presenting. So Team Ireland, the Olympic team, have got me involved. I actually was involved with announcing the NFL draft only recently as well. And it's, I'm like, this world is crazy. I'm doing the maddest jobs, but it's very much where I want to be, and I feel at home in there. So I just hopefully keep going that way. I know that's more than seven words, but I think that's kind of the, on my bio, my Instagram, it's presenter, Olympian, Ironman. So they're kind of the three things that encapsulate who I am in my bio.
Not in the order that I would have expected.
I know. It's not. Yeah. I didn't know which way to put it, but presenter, I suppose, is kind of like in the working sense of what I do day to day. And then Olympian and Ironman kind of is the tip of the hat for what I've managed to do in my life. And it kind of gives you an encapsulation of everything that I've done, you know?
Yeah, the dedication, the focus, the commitment, the discipline, because that's what it takes to get to where you are. Looking at your career and your life in general, if you were to look back and look at the highlights of what's been your greatest achievement, there may be more than one. What would you say that has been? It doesn't have to be in sport. It can be across your whole entire life. What's your proudest achievement?
Well, it was going to be sport. It would have been, and my answer would have been getting to the Olympics, obviously. But to give it more context, is the Olympics is like the pinnacle of sport. Like no matter soccer World Cup, rugby World Cup, Ironman World Champions, whatever it is, the Olympics is elevated from that. It's the top of the mountain. You can't get better than the Olympics. And for me and my friends, my teammates, to get to the pinnacle of sport ourselves on below minimum wage and work together, and we got to that stage, and we were once an Olympian, always an Olympian. And it's beautiful, the group that worked from European Division D all the way up to the Olympics. Like it took us years to get there. So that was a beautiful kind of ending and a nice way to wrap that present up and have it as a group of friends. But in a personal sense, my biggest goal, and that I've achieved and my proudest moment was pulling myself out of that mental health hole that I got into. And I don't want to get too dark on it, like, but I was in a very, very bad way. And I felt like I couldn't rely on my friends or my partner at the time or my family. I couldn't even really tell them because I didn't want to upset them. And I was very much like, how am I going to get out of this? Like, I'm an Olympian. I have a law degree. I've, on the surface level, on the face of it, I have everything you could ever want. But I'm absolutely miserable and I don't know where I'm going with my life. And to manage to turn that around and pull myself out of it with the help of medical professionals, but also myself, and reevaluating where I am and like turning a new chapter was so big for me. And now looking back, I'm just like, that poor little fella just needed someone to put their arm around him and tell him it's going to be okay. But I did it myself. And I'm like so proud of myself for that. And it allows me to be a better person now and help people that are in that hole. And I'm like, whatever you need, I'm here for you. And I think that's beautiful. And it's something I'll always be proud of.
I think they're very powerful words to actually finish our podcast on. So Greg O'Shea, thank you so much for joining us. I have a million more questions I'd love to ask you, but we've been chatting for almost an hour. I really hope I get to call you across the finish line somewhere, whether you're still an amateur athlete or you're in the pro ranks. I don't know. I think we need to watch this space, but thank you so much for sharing so much of your story with us. It's been a pleasure and you definitely are the boy next door.
Oh, thanks so much, Joanna. Best of luck in your Ironman now. I can't wait to see how you get on.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can get in touch with any feedback or guest suggestions by emailing me on trytalkingsport@gmail.com. If you would like to hear more great episodes of the podcast, be sure to check them out on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow all of our activities and podcasts on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn and Instagram. If you have any feedback or guest suggestions, please email me on trytalkingsport@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, thanks for listening. Stay safe, keep smiling, and remember to look for fun and adventure in every day.